Before I read the scripture, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear the scripture that I'm going to read and the message that Crystal is going to bring. I ask that you would make it real to us and that we would take it from this place into our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to read three scriptures. The first is Mark 12, 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven, from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. The second reading is Deuteronomy 6. 1 through 9. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and your children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all the decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of our fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." The last reading is Ezekiel 36, 22 through 28. "Therefore, say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God." Let's keep going.
Haters. The word even sounds mean, doesn't it? It's a relatively new term. We didn't use it when I was growing up, but it seems to get tossed around a lot today, and I think it's because of all the conflict we're experiencing nationwide. When someone decides they don't like a certain type of person, whether it's immigrants or Jews or Christians or gays or Democrats or Republicans, they publicly put them down with mean jokes on social media or in nasty letters to the editor. And at the very worst, some people get their guns and senselessly murder strangers. It's easy to see why someone started using the term haters and why so many people have picked up on it, so it's become a part of our common vocabulary. But it's a sad commentary on our times. In a timely God thing kind of way, Al and I got the Netflix movie Won't You Be My Neighbor on Friday, and we watched it just the other night. It's a documentary about Mr. Rogers, who had the children's TV show for so many years. It's a pretty good movie about his life and about how he started the show and why it's so different from other children's programming. Fred Rogers really loved children deeply, and he had an understanding of their development, as well as a belief that they deserved to be taken seriously and given dignity and even some power over their own lives. He also loved God. He was a Presbyterian minister who was ordained for television ministry. All through the movie, they emphasize his belief in love. And in the very beginning, he says, "Love is the root of everything. All learning, all parenting, all relationships. Love, or the lack of it." When Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment? Jesus said, love. Love is the most important, even the root, to borrow Mr. Rogers' word, of all the commandments. And that's right, isn't it? Because just like Chuck said, everyone wants to be loved. That is how God designed us. He loves and is love and wants our love. And at our basic core, we want to be loved too. Jesus says above all other commandments, love. It's basic to who we are and to how we become what we're meant to be. So this scene in the gospel today in Mark is a little different from what we're used to when Jesus encounters leaders in the religious community and spiritual teachers and so. Usually when a scribe or a Pharisee or a teacher approaches Jesus, they are intending to trick or trap him. Their questions are carefully designed to be impossible to answer without alienating some faction or another or appearing rebellious against the government. But this man is different. He's heard what's been going on, that Jesus has been questioned this way, and he's given good answers. So he comes up to him with a question of his own, but it's sincere. And the two of them have this kind of back and forth, where each is evaluating the other. In fact, it kind of seems like this guy comes up thinking he's going to check out Jesus, see if he's orthodox. And in the end, he gets checked out by Jesus. I think Jesus does that to people today too. People who decide to investigate Jesus and see if he really is who he says he is, find out that Jesus will take them seriously and judge them appropriately when they are sincerely seeking. Anyway, I think it's refreshing to have a religious leader finally be sincere in his conversation with Jesus and to have Jesus commend him at the end of it. So this man asks a question that was often discussed in Judaism, and that is, what is the greatest commandment? There were 600 and some laws in the Old Testament, and so they were always trying to rank them, not really to discard the ones at the bottom, but in a way of interpreting all of them. And so Jesus answers with what is called the Shema, a quote from Deuteronomy that Jews prayed every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. And he adds to it another Old Testament quote, this time from Leviticus. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So first of all, love God and wholeheartedly love him. Not just a little bit on Sunday morning or when he answers your prayer or when you're feeling good. But he wants you to love him with your entire being. Our whole lives should be about loving God. He is the first and center of all things for us. Tom Wright said that there's good reason for this. We are made in God's image. And so the more we learn to love and worship him, the more we will be able to discover our purpose and meaning, our true selves. We become like the one we love. So loving God with our whole being makes us more like him. And because he loves us so fully as his own creatures, he claims the whole person for himself in this command to love him with all of our everything. To love God this way involves several things, maybe lots of things, but at least a few things. And I came up with four words that start with A to help us remember. We admit he's holy, admire his works, adhere to his word, and adore him above all others. So we admit he's holy. God is outside of creation. We can know him to the extent that he reveals himself to us in the Bible and in Jesus Christ, but we can never know him in his entirety. He is high and set apart, completely other than anything we know or understand. When we love God, we acknowledge this about him. We admit he is holy. Second, we admire his works. We love him for his power and might. He created the world and everything in it, and he made it beautiful and very good. He redeemed us from slavery to sin, sending Jesus Christ, God with us, to reconcile us to him. How can we not admire these works of his? Third, we adhere to his word. We think about the scriptures. We ponder the life and words of Jesus. We study them and listen in order to know God's heart and mind. Admiring God's works and adhering to his word are what the psalmist referred to as meditating. Christian meditation is filling our minds with the word and works of God in an attempt to know him, to have relationship with our Creator. In meditation, we find much to admire and admit about God, his power, his love for beauty, his authority, his mercy, and of course, his love for us. And the last A, adore him. Loving God is not only worshiping him, but it will certainly include it. We will bow our knee to him, bend our will to his. He is our Lord. Love for God is not merely a feeling or even acknowledgement of his character. It is obedience to his word. When we obey, we show our love and our trust. It is a crucial part of our relationship with God. In worship and obedience, we adore him. And the second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love like this is a covenant loyalty. It may or may not include a feeling of love or even liking the other person, but it is a loyalty to other people who are also made in God's image and loved by him. In fact, our love of people flows from our love for God. As we love him well, we will necessarily love the people that he loves. And we cannot love God if we don't love other people. The other thing about this is that this is not just a general love for humankind. This is a specific love for the neighbor that is in your path today. It is a love that seeks the good of the other and gives aid where it is needed. It's not a lovey-dovey kind of feeling, but it's not devoid of feeling at all. This love cares deeply for people because they have inherent worth as children of God. The two commandments to love God and love your neighbor are really one. You cannot do one well without the other. And they sum up all of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus says love is the most important. Well, that's easy enough, right? We're loving, caring people. We're not haters. We are here in church this morning because we love God. And we do our best to love the people around us. Sure, it's not easy to love certain ones, but for the most part, we're good, right? Well, it's not so easy to love the way God wants us to love. Do you know that on that documentary about Mr. Rogers, someone actually said, there is no room for nice people on TV today? Mr. Rogers started his show in the 1960s, and it lasted till about 2000. Back then, when it started, apparently there was room for at least one nice person on TV. But today, not so much. And I think that's true. We don't watch a lot of TV in our house, but we have watched some of the popular series. And even the ones that are about good friends or close family are full of sarcastic, biting comments and snarky put-downs. And those are the good shows. Of course, that's TV and not real life. But here's an exercise you could try to see how you fare. At the end of each day, prayerfully examine your love for God, asking yourself some questions. Did I trust God today? Did I spend any time acknowledging His authority over me? If I heard Him speak, or if I found myself in a situation where I had to make a moral decision, did I obey God? Today, was my whole life oriented toward God, thought, word, and deed? If you do this humbly and prayerfully, listening for the Holy Spirit, He will guide you to the answers and empower you to love Him more. If you're wanting to ask God at the end of the day how you did at loving your neighbor, the questions to ask might start with 1 Corinthians 13, the famous chapter on love. When I was with other people today, was I patient and kind? Am I harboring jealousy or pride? Was I rude toward anyone or irritable, or did I demand my own way? Am I keeping a record of wrongs, or am I quick to forgive? Now it doesn't seem quite as easy, does it? Maybe we're not full of hatred for others, but our tendency is probably to love ourselves over against the other rather than love them as we love ourselves. But the man listening to Jesus likes what he hears and says, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And Jesus sees that this man has wisdom and understanding, and He tells him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." So what else is needed? Why did Jesus say, "You're not far"? What does He need to do to be in the kingdom of God? Jesus, when He brings up the Shema, He seems to be saying, "You pray this every day. You know it's important. Now live it." This man is close. He understands that if we were to live in love the way God requires, we would not need the burnt offerings and sacrifices to atone for our sins. But there's still something missing. I wonder, but we don't really know what happens to this man after this. Maybe he goes away from there thinking about it, mulling it over. I hope he did. And I hope he realized that he cannot love this way in his own power. just like we, at the end of the day, realize we did not love as we should have loved, and that we cannot love that way in our own strength. Maybe he realized that without God's help, without a Savior from God, he would not ever be able to escape the daily round of burnt offerings and sacrifices, because he would never live up to the most important commandment. Did he know that it's a matter of the heart and not just doing some things like ticking off a list so that you can feel like you accomplished something and you're done? To love God with our whole heart and mind and soul and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, are very high demands. They don't just come, even with a lot of hard work and effort. Of course we have good intentions, but it's hard in the midst of daily life. Recently, there was a post from one of our Facebook friends that said, "I'm pretty positive I would have been an awesome mom today if not for my children." I understand the sentiment. I often feel like I could be great at loving others if it weren't for the other people. Truly, I want to love others the way Jesus did, in spite of their unlovableness, but I'm no good at it. I myself sometimes am difficult to love as well as unloving. What I really need is a change of heart, a desire to love God, and a true deep care for fellow people. And that doesn't come from my own effort. I need the new heart and spirit that God promised his people through Ezekiel. And whether he knew it or not, so did the teacher who talked to Jesus on this day. What Jesus knew that the man didn't was that he is the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy. That when God said he'd wash his people with water and give them a new heart and a new spirit, it would be through the work of Jesus. That his death on the cross was the final sacrifice, making all others not only unnecessary, but also ineffective. Love is better than burnt offerings and sacrifices, because love is how God operates with us, and it beats all the sacrifices anyone could make. Jesus loved to the point of his own death for our forgiveness and cleansing. What is still needed for the man who was not far from the kingdom of God, and for us, is to believe and follow Jesus. To receive by faith God's Holy Spirit who dwells in us and transforms us from the inside out. Friends in Christ, we are very blessed. The commandment our God gives us is to love. Everyone wants to be loved, and the best way to get love is to give it. And Jesus has cleansed us from our unloving ways and given us his Spirit to live within us so that we can love. Both God with all of our being and our neighbors as ourselves. To give us hope and inspire us to learn to love, here's one last quote from Won't You Be My Neighbor. In it, Mr. Rogers said, "What changes the world? The only thing that changes the world is when someone gets the idea that love can abound and can be shared." Well, Jesus got that idea. His love was deep and hopeful, and it is eternal. And that is what we have to share with the world, to change it from a hateful place to a place where all people are loved. Amen.